Good morning. God is good. And all, no. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather together on this first Sunday of Lent. You know, last Wednesday we began our journey through this Lenten season as we move towards Easter. I'd like to welcome you, especially those I can see and those who are online with us. Those who are here, you know, the guest registers in the pew, if you can fill that out, we would appreciate that as well. Not a lot of announcements. Just to remind you, we started yesterday the first Lenten study group, and you'll see the dates are there from 10 to 11. We went a little bit longer, a little bit, because of we were in an animated discussion. And so if you don't have a booklet and you need one, Laura's up here in the front row, and I can't... Oh, there's a couple. They're in a parlor. That's where we meet. So if you're interested and you don't have a booklet, then you can go there and do that. I've been handing out the prayer partners for Lent. For those of you, most of you I've caught, if I haven't seen you and you are on the list, I have them with me. Otherwise, I will, for those who might be listening, I will text you or email you your prayer partner. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we now prepare to worship God.
Good morning. Those who are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. We are come to be present to God, not to hide. We come to admit our faults, not deny them. We come to lay down the burden of shame. We come to rejoice in forgiveness. We come to acknowledge we are not only sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, but also our sisters and brothers of Christ. Let us, as sisters and brothers of Christ, worship our God. And now please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. In times of distress, you do not forsake us, O God. Amid the intrusions of life, you comfort your people. When we find ourselves in whatever wilderness we wander, your spirit is there to guide us correctly. Your eye is ever upon us as a mother watches over her brood. In Christ's name, we gather as those you have made righteous. Hear our shouts of joy with our hearts made upright. We confess that we listen to voices that are not your voice, Holy God, especially when they tell us what we want to hear. We confess what we prefer to trust our own wishes rather than your wisdom. We confess that we are so out of control that we eat fruit that is not intended for us. Forgive us our immaturity, our pride, and our greed. Teach us again to allow your spirit within us to guide us in wise decisions and faithful behavior. Amen.
Hear the good news. We have this assurance that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else and all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading for today is a very familiar one from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
Thank you.
As we continue to hear God's word, we're going to go, as you'll notice, I had Chuck read the gospel lesson, which was familiar, but the Old Testament lesson is as well, and I decided to preach off of that. So it is from the first book of the Bible, of the books of the law. It's Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and then chapters 3, 1 to 7. The first little paragraph is a short account of the creation, and then a larger paragraph is talking about the tree in the middle of the garden, the sin and punishment piece. So hear these words. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall die." Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He says to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent says to the woman, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Part of what we do in the season of Lent is it's a time for revelation. And we're offered the opportunity to see ourselves reflected in the choices and behaviors of our parents in the faith. So we sometimes go back and see as we read through the stories. And so we have a chance to maybe look at the genetic material of our faith, maybe sort of look at it like that. It's a time for we have a chance to consider nature versus nurture as it applies to our spiritual lives. God knows, or I would think God knows, that we have the best genes going when it comes to faith. We are created in God's own image from the elements that God first imagined and created, and then God chose to mold them and shape them and then breathe into them these human forms. So we're animated by that breath. The Hebrew word for that is ruach. You have to make that sound in your back of your throat when you say that. Ruach. It's the same word used in the creation story when the spirit hovers over the waters. This ruach. And so that spirit, that breath, fills our lungs at creation. We were created to live creatively and generously and exuberantly and abundantly and, as my sermon title says, to live shamelessly about who we are as God's creation. And then we can certainly be no shame when we think of how we came into being, when we consider that the imprint we bear in our hearts and our blood and our flesh and our bones are God. Because there is no shame to be created like God. But because we are created in God's image, then we have this free will thing. And the free will in the life of the human beings and the life of the faith has been pretty challenging at times and sometimes pretty downright discouraging about the decisions we make. And over time, we have learned to live shamefully. And so Lent is a good time to think about that and to consider those things, whether we want to change that, whether we want to turn away or change our minds, as we discussed yesterday, from the shameful to the shameless, to turn from what may be being doing that is destructive to our faith to something that's more creative, to turn away from the stingy back to the generous, or turn away from a zero-based scarcity mentality where we need to hoard everything to abundance that's there for everybody, a holy abundance. So the lectionary is offered us, and it was just ironic, Jim asked me a question this morning about the lectionary, the series of readings, because they are very similar to the Episcopal, the Roman Catholic, Lutheran. We all follow this set of readings. So we have this story, and in Hebrew it's Adam and Hava, or Adam and Eve. And so we have them examining, we look at them to examine our lives and our choices as we look through what they did. So in the groups I've been involved in and the folks I've talked to over the years, whenever we've decided we would preach on this text and not the Matthew text, is that I don't know if it's an apple or an apricot, it's a fruit. And I take maybe it's an unorthodox view of that, as I've decided. But I don't see what they did as sinful in the traditional sense of that word. The English word sin comes from the German word, which means to sunder or separate. And yep, they did separate themselves from God. That's what happens here. But I don't think that separation in and of itself was necessarily bad, because I think it's part of how we become whole people. And so I got thinking more about, when I think of the parent-child relationship that we sometimes describe God and us, when children don't children to grow, to be a little different, to spread their wings, so to speak, and that we as parents and grandparents or teachers or mentors try to help them to expand and to grow into the fullness of whatever gifts God has given them. So in conversation with my colleagues, a lot of points come up, but I don't want to deal with all of them. I'm just going to deal with the one. Have we been misunderstanding this whole event, this story? You all knew it when I started to read it. Have we misunderstood it for thousands or millennia every time we look at it? First of all, God is not dumb. By the time human beings are created, God's been at it a while. You know, creation of the world and all the things that happen within it, and finally decides to create human beings. And so sometimes I wonder if in the story, if this tree is put there as a catalyst or a way to move Adam and Eve to something else, to separate themselves from God a little bit, so that we could become, sometimes Scripture calls us the creation other, because we are created in God's image. But I also think sometimes we might be beloved, but we could be irritating and challenging. Those of us who have parented know that's what happens. And I also wonder, did God really think that with the dreamed up creatures who would be obedient and not eat from the tree, if that's what God really wanted? I mean, who are we really kidding here? You know, sometimes we make choices every day. So after some discussion and some more reading, I've decided that maybe this description is maybe really a birth narrative. That somehow we're all expelled from the utopia of the womb into real life. Why? You can't stay in utero or you die. You have to have wider horizons. You have to breathe the air. You have to eat the solid food. You have to be able to exercise beyond that space within your mother's womb. We have to grow. And all of that, it becomes psychological, it becomes physical, it becomes spiritual and emotional. All those things happen once we're able to move. So I don't think the story of Adam and Eve eating from the tree is about failure and shame. I think the shame happens when they sewed the fig tree's leaves together and realized they were naked. One of my colleagues says, well, maybe that's the first cover-up that happened in the world. Pardon the pun. When they realized they were naked. I believe that God created us to live shamelessly. And I try to look back on what I've read and what I've heard growing up and the scripture I read and the hymns I sing and what I say I believe, that we are created in the image of God. So we're created then. And I went back, and when I was in seminary, we had a whole list of things we had to do. It was in that time when we were really trying to be highly inclusive, and so we had all these terms for God that we could use. But we are infinite truth. We're created in infinite truth. We are created in the image of unmeasured joy. That's what God is. We are created to be worthy companions of the Creator. There's nothing to be ashamed of how we've been created. But most of us aren't taught about the divine glory that comes from being a creation of God. And this human shame I'm trying to talk about, I think, is sort of related to us before we could even speak. It comes to us just by the way those who raised us believed we should be raised. We're taught to cover up from the time we're an infant. Cover up our bodies. Cover up our mistakes. Cover up our emotions. Cover up our pain. Cover up our dreams, our honest thoughts, our wisdom, our strength, our fruitful observations. Growing up as a preacher's kid in the church, I think there were more restrictions for my sister and brother and I than there were for the other children in church. You're the preacher's oldest son, Marty. You have to wear a tie. You have to sit in the front pew. You're not allowed to squirm. You know, all of those do not things that we're not supposed to do. But now as I think back on all that, yeah, that's good structure, and it taught me how to worship and when to stand and when to sit, and you know, I understand how to do worship. But I love my dad and mom, but they taught us not about to understand the glory of God that is within each one of us. Who we really are. And when we don't know that and we don't understand it, that's when we lose our way. Because I don't think God created us to be partially holy. No, just a little bit. Part of me? What part of me? I don't think God intended that we need to be at war with ourselves. Yeah, you know, like the good angel, bad angel thing sitting on your shoulder. We don't have that. We should be. We're created by God in God's image. And somehow we always feel there has to be a negative and a positive side. We have to feel that there has to be a shameful and a shameless side. That there's always something internally going on within us. And what convinces me of this is the life of Jesus. Because in this person, as I studied him, as a human being that's really struggling to be all the way holy. I mean, what really ties me in the story we read during Holy Week in the garden, when he tells God, take this from me. Your will, not mine. Is that humanness that I really love about him. But for the most part, he's striving to show and to live how you can be all holy. And I think the story of the incarnation of this, of God through human beings, is a story about living shamelessly in the image of God. So while we're on this Lenten journey, we're going to have till now, till April 5th, that's Easter. We have plenty of time to think about it, this pilgrimage of Lent, that maybe we need to take those fig leaves that we've used to cover certain, what we think are important parts, to the cover up the glory that we have, the joy that we have, the beauty that we can share, the truth of who we really are. You know, and I speak like that because having lived with three women, my two sisters-in-law and my wife, who went down the dementia journey to Alzheimer's, and there is a persona that people with high-end dementia put on when they're in public. If you would meet my wife when she was still able to come out, for like the first 5 or 10, 15 minutes, you'd think she was okay. And then all of a sudden, somebody hit rewind on the tape recorder and she starts to repeat herself. But I think we all put a persona on of how we want people to see us. And in this creation, why are we hiding that when we are created by God to be who we really are? So I want to suggest that we can take to heart the words of Marianne Williamson, quoted by Nelson Mandela in his inaugural address. It comes from a book of Return to Love, New York, HarperCollins. Chuck, you don't need to write it. It's printed in the bulletin. It's the thought for the day. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. We are born to make manifest the glory of God. We are to make manifest the glory of God. How we live, how we share, who we are. Not just within these walls, but every day, every place, whatever we do. May God be with us as we journey and strive to be what God created us to be. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is the original United Church of Christ Statement of Faith. The merger of the denomination was 1957, and at the first annual meeting in 1959, they created this statement. It goes on to 2 pages. So I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand as we affirm our faith together. We believe in God, the Eternal Spirit, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, he has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding and covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to see his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism, and to eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer, I was asked to check my phone. Laura, I'm sorry, it's halftime. It's 1-1, the Olympic hockey game. We pray for safe games and nobody hurt. And Sophia's up here, yes. Was that you? Yes, it was. Miss Canna sits in our front row of the choir, by the way. So are there any joys or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith? If not, we continue to pray for those that are in the bulletin that we list every week. There's also things going on in the world that we need to remember. To remind those who now have been Lenten prayer partners, I announced I was handing those names out for your partners. Continue to do that every day. We were praying for my stepdaughter, Sheila Trout. She died last Sunday afternoon at about 5 o'clock. Services are not going to be until March 2nd, which is a week from this Tuesday. So immediately after worship next Sunday, I'm going to book out of here and drive down to Scottsboro so I can be there for the funeral on Tuesday. I'm not participating. I'm a bunch of family. We're going to go down and do that. Continue to remember the Ted Wallace family. That's Joy's dad. The service was held last Wednesday, so we can continue to keep them in prayer as well. Tim Kennedy is having outpatient surgery tomorrow, and Vicki was asking prayers for that as well. And Jack Watts is having an MRI done this Thursday to see what needs to be done to take care of his health as well. There are those that celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. I know that we were talking earlier among some of us, you know, there are some folks who are not here who are regulars, who the flu or a cold, something's going on. Part of it, it's the weather. If it would stay cold or stay warm, we'd be okay. But it fluctuates and we decide not to wear a coat or to keep our collars open, you know. But it's coming out. So we pray for those who couldn't be here as well. So as we continue to remember all of these folks and their situations throughout the world, I'm going to ask us to focus as we get ready to come before God in prayer. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then release it. Breathe in, God, and breathe out. Breathe in, and breathe out. Breathe in. Almighty God, as we come before you this day, at the beginning of this Lenten journey, we try to come before you stripped of all pretense and pride and be open to your mercy and your grace. You created us. You gave us our name. You molded us as the potter works the clay. You fashioned us. You shaped us. You breathed into us. And so out of the depths we cry to you. So hear our voices, whether we speak aloud or within our hearts and minds, as we come to you in prayer. You provided all that we needed in the garden, and yet our foremothers and fathers decided otherwise, and they journeyed out because of the free will. But we are reminded that you did not leave them. And so as we continue to struggle and have that free will and make decisions in our lives, we know that you are with us each and every day. And it's not about what we do or how we do it, how much money we make and where we live or what we drive. It's about who we are. And so touch us in special ways, O God, as we journey this Lenten season, that we may repent or change our minds or turn differently to understand how your Spirit moves among us. May we share the love that we have received from you with those around us, continue to acknowledge each and every human being as one of your children. There are those among us, O God, that we pray for, especially our prayer partners, those who are grieving and mourning, those who are celebrating special events, those who are struggling to be well, those who are going through procedures, those who are recovering from surgery, those who are in decision for something very important in their lives, for those who are just glad to be alive today. So God, we thank you for your presence as it always journeys with us, especially this day. So continue to be with us as we journey. Continue to remind us that we are yours. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who showed us how to live, how to share, and how to love. And we offer this prayer in his name with the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We are stewards in God's garden, entrusted with the care of all the earth and of God's people, our sisters and brothers. Let us give account of our stewardship as we dedicate material offerings and as we rededicate ourselves to the task Christ sets before us. The ushers may now come forward. Thank you.
Please join with me in our prayer of dedication. God of compassion, you minister to us in our wilderness when barren wastes surround us. You hear our prayer of petition. In times of want, you ease our plight with mercy. In times of plenty, all that we have comes from your grace. In bringing our gifts to you, we return what is already yours. May these and all our gifts be used to bring all your people into the promised land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the congregation to be seated. Michael? Where's he at? No. Sang. This is Sang's last Sunday with us. And as Michael will tell you, if you hear that deep resonating bass, that's that gentleman right there.
It's always sad when we have to say goodbye to one of our choral scholars, but it's also happy that they're moving on to finish one chapter in their life, moving on to the next. And that's what Sang is doing. Sang's been with us for 2 years. And he's been a wonderful section leader along with Charlie in our bass section and the wonderful solos that he's sung on Sunday morning for us throughout the year. So we're gonna wish Sang well. He missed a few Sundays recently because he was traveling around auditioning to schools for postgraduate work. He went to Texas and he went to Illinois. Different places. So anyway, so now, as I understand it, he's going to go home to Korea and wait and see who's going to take him in the fall. So he'll come back. So anyway, we wish you well, Sang, and we thank you for all you've done for us. And let's give Sang a big round of applause.
Yes, so I just want to echo Michael's words. Sang is an invaluable part of our choir, and we're really going to miss him as he goes home for a while. And so thank you for all that you've contributed and all that you've done here at St. John's. We really appreciate it. And I think we have a gift for you.
This is not the most important part.
So we have a little gift for you.
Thank you.
Michael just said I should do a blessing for Sang. So let us pray. And then I'm going to have you stand and sing. Okay? Almighty God, we are grateful for the musical talent that you have blessed our church with these people who come from CCM and Northern Kentucky and from all over, and as well as those of us who volunteer, that we may bring music to you. As Sang continues his singing career, we ask your blessings upon him as he continues to move forward and share his gift with those around him. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. It's time to stand and sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." The last verse of that hymn resonated with what I was trying to talk to you about today, except it was the other way around. There we're telling God to take us, and I'm telling you, God already took you, because you were created to be who you are, where you are, how you live your lives. You are to share the glory. You are to share the glory of God with those who need to see it. Do not be ashamed. Be shamelessly about how you live your life. Let us continue our Lenten journey together until we meet again. Let us go in the name of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go in peace. Amen.